Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
So good to have you with us, everybody. Hope you're off. Your Monday is off to a great start. We're thrilled to have you here. It's Monday, October 3rd. Hard to believe we're already into October. The leaves are turning. It's getting cooler across the country. We have got a gorgeous fall day going here in Central Texas, and we appreciate you joining in with us wherever that may be from. We see people dialing in again from all over. Really appreciate you doing so. And excited to have you join us as we kind of, I think, another lineup of a great program. Of course, we have the regular program. We'll get into that in just a minute. But we also today are going to be talking about one of the most important topics. I heard someone once say that 90% of the value of your company walks out the door at the end of each day of business. We're talking about your people. In the book Good to Great, David Campbell and James Collins said, get the right people on the bus and get the wrong people off the bus. So how do we do that? Well, we've got Matt Strahl, who's done a great job of doing that with some companies, and we're going to have him on as our guest talking about ways in which you can be impacting and effective at having the right people on the bus and getting the wrong people off the bus. So very excited about that. Yeah, it's kind of down the lines of recruiting, but it's a lot more. So you're going to want to stay tuned to the Hot Topic segment. A special thank you to Alice Joe and all those that joined. Sam's here. I think we're going to have Paul dialing in. Hopefully, I'm not sure if the Prophet Doctor is going to make it today or not. I haven't heard from him. Hopefully, he will. But it's really good to have you all here. Yeah, I see Paul's dialed in, but I want to say a special thank you to all of you guys that make this program so, but here of the quality. The content you bring is just really appreciated, and our listeners know it as well. Special thank you goes out also to our sponsors, ArchMI, the creator of the new innovative RateStar program, Motivity Solutions for their intelligence that they have, business intelligence technology, providing real-time reporting, dashboards, and scorecards, Velma for what they do when it comes to their set-it-and-forget-it email auto email campaigns, and also what they do when you help you create custom campaigns on the fly. I tell you, the more I work with Brent Immler, the more I'm impressed. I'm serious, guys. There's technology and there's people, and it's always the people that make the technology work. And Immler is just, I got to tell you, Brent is just gifted at this. So check it out at velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com, or call Brent at 208-854-7909. Yeah, there may be cooler technologies. I don't know if there are, but you know, it's really about the people. That's what we're talking about today. Also, Simplifile. Speaking of great people, Nancy, Allie, and the team at Simplifile do a great job. They have technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents in a real-time chat and messaging format, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arrive. And it's all done in a real-time electronic communications format. How convenient, how cool is that? So you can have a complete audit trail of all the communications. Nice, should something go south and you find yourself in court, to be able to have that audit trail is huge. So check it out at simplifile.com at 1-800-460-5657. Also, D&H, who helps move your world forward through technology. They have a business that's been around for 140 years with 5,500 employees and 8,000 clients in 70 countries, and they have got some new innovative applications that are out, and it's the MortgageBot mobile app. We've showcased that at the Motivity conference, and I had Dan on talking about it, and man, I tell you, I've sat in on several meetings with that since then, and I am really impressed with what this can do, and their approach is somewhat unique than what others do, so you need to check it out. So go to DH, that's simple, two letters, DH.com, check it out, or call them at 1-800-815-5592. We're going to be doing our broadcast from the conference in the D&H booth at the annual conference. Looking forward to that. Then always, we are grateful to be a part of the Mortgage Collaborative, which is really the power of the network. And it's five past presidents of the MBA that came together, formed the Mortgage Collaborative, And it gives you the ability, and us, its members, us members, to really interact in a really more intimate way with the professionals and leaders of our industry. We're really grateful. And the MBA is behind this one. So they're very strong at helping you connect with the right people and doing so in a major, in a really positive way. Check it out, Mortgage Collaborative, www.mortgagecollaborative.com, or call Rich Zerbinski at 440-552-0691. Again, the power of the network. Again, thank you to Alice, Joe, Andy, Paul, and Sam, and the crew that make this program possible. The next event that's coming up on the calendar, of course, is October 23rd through the 26th up in beautiful Boston. Gorgeous time this year. The leaves are turning. I hope you can get in there. We're flying in a bit early to do the fall leaf tour. But this is a great conference. Yeah, James Taylor's playing, major good. Got David Stevens, who does an amazing job. He and the whole team there at the MBA, Marcia, does an awesome job of bringing together, I think, one of the most compelling conferences. And this one is a sellout. I mean, sold out. People are going to be wall-to-wall, bumper-to-bumper. Just everywhere at this conference. It's at the Haynes Conference Center, Convention Center in Boston. Check it out. Go check out the website and make sure. We look forward to seeing you there. And if you're going to be there, we look forward to having you at the come by the booth. Love to say have you say hi and get you on the air. And we'll be doing the broadcasting from the D&H booth. Also, October 30th and through the November 1st will be the AmeriCatalyst Fast Forward event. That's at the Omni Creek Hotel and Resort here in Austin, Texas. Tony Moss and her team put on an amazing conference, and it is, again, like Andy Schell says, it's at a graduate level, or a doctoral level. It's really high-end, very, very thought-provoking. It's like a think tank, so some of the brightest people get together. November 10th, the Whole Loan Trading Workshop in Phoenix, Arizona. November 15th through the 17th, Accounting and Financial Management Conference at the Manchester Grand Hyatt in San Diego. Check out all the conferences at the MBA Education website, as well as join the Mortgage Alliance when you're there. Joe Farr, good to have you here, my friend. Looking at the market, I always tell you, everyone who does not look at your screens, you've got to go get that free trial and get signed up, because this is
We make it pretty easy.
You do, and I need easy, especially when it comes to complicated topics like secondary markets. What's going on today, my friend?
Well, not a lot. We're down a little bit. ISM Manufacturing Index came in a little stronger than what was expected, and that caused a drop in MBS prices of about 3/32, which is where we stand right now. Actually, we just ticked up to down 2/32. So construction spending also came in, and it was a little stronger than expected, but was not – oh, I'm sorry, it was a little worse than expected, but was not enough to offset the stronger-than-expected ISM Index. So. But then let's look at last week, which was really pretty much all about the Fed. You know, it was MBS prices improved a little bit last week on a net basis and ended the week near, you know, close to the best levels of the year, Dave. Early in the week, there was concern over, I'm sorry, the Fed meeting was not this week.
Yeah.
Anyway, a little concern over the strength of the European banking system. I've been writing a monthly report that did focus on the Fed. So, and the European weakness in the European banking system, you know, concerns about that caused a little shift to safer assets. The announcement of a $14 billion fine by the Department of Justice against Deutsche Bank, Germany's largest bank, you know, increased those concerns. But then later in the week, a couple things happened. One, there were rumors that Deutsche Bank's fine won't be anywhere near that much. And in fact, it's there have been reports that it might be as low as $5 billion, still $5 billion. But, and then OPEC also announced an agreement. Yeah, no problem. OPEC,
17 to 5, what the heck?
OPEC announced an agreement to cut oil production. And, you know, the stock market's kind of been following the price of oil, and that cut drove oil prices up at least a little bit, and stocks rebounded, and MBS gave back some of the earlier gains. The the most important economic data that came out during the week was the core PC inflation. It showed a slight increase. You know, still well below the 2% target. It had been level at 1.6% for the last 5 months, and this month, August, it increased at 1.7%. And yeah, it's not concerning, but it is an increase, and it's something for, you know, the Fed to consider. During the week, consumer confidence and consumer sentiment came out showing improvement. And so, you know, when you got happy consumers and you got low mortgage rates, that's pretty good for the housing market. And then in the housing market, both pending home sales and new home sales were down a bit from last month. Low inventory was cited in both, but still at fairly healthy levels. The third estimate of second quarter GDP, which is really old news by now, but it was revised to be 1.4%. That's up just a little bit. And for the week, this weekday, we have really it's all going to be about the jobs report on Friday. It comes, or the consensus is for 175,000 net new jobs, and so we'll see what happens there. And before then, we'll have ISM services that will come out on Wednesday. So it's really a fairly light week, but you know, important events nonetheless. Obviously, the jobs report is going to be a big report too. Could be market moving, so need to pay attention.
And do you think the ADP employment change report is going to have any signal? Does it typically signal what we can anticipate with a non-farm payroll report?
Yeah,
on Friday,
I'll give it credit. I give it credit for being a little better than it had been, but it's not reliable enough to really change people's opinion about what's going to happen in the non-farm payrolls report, and therefore it's not a big market moving event.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be really interesting. The non-farm payroll report is anticipated to be, you know, last month it was 151,000 is what your website says. So, you know, we'll see some nice job growth. Hopefully we'll realize that. Hopefully that will be realized.
Yeah. It's still down from very big numbers two months prior to the August number. So,
yeah. That's one thing. I love everything you have on here. I wish I could click on and see the graph of the historical graph. That'd be really, really cool. Average earnings also anticipated to go up. So good metric for things going on there. You do a great job. This website is so clear, concise, and to the point. It is just outstanding. You know, leave it to me. I'm going to want to try to add this. Could you add this? Could you do that? But it's really good.
I got to tell you guys.
Knock the cover out of the park on this one. And you get free membership, and they can learn about that by listening to this app. Be right back with Paul Mallow. He's on the line, and we're going to be back with him in just a minute. Stay tuned so you can learn more on how you can get signed up with MBS Quoteline.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Yeah, it's good to have you here with us, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. And we've got Paul Mallow up. I've got his website here. I've got his website up. And we've got his mic on, is what I'm trying to say. Paul, it's good to have you here, friend. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm looking at your website. Great job again. I'm just hooked on websites when they're clean and concise and bring it to me really easy. And yours does, because you got the bullet points, and then you can click on the articles to get into more knowledge. But let's take a look at, and if you could run through some of the headlines, that'd be appreciated.
Sure. John Bancroft of our staff crunched the numbers for Fannie and Freddie for the first half of the year. And, you know, one thing he came up with, the so-called GSE patch. Those are mortgages that don't fit the normal high debt-to-income ratios. And he found about 25% of what Fannie and Freddie are buying these days, normally would be above that 43% DTI. But they have the so-called patch, and they don't have to worry about it. So what does this mean?
Yeah.
It sort of means that the GSEs, you know, have loosened their underwriting a little bit. And that's one of the biggest problems with the non-conforming market is that DTI ratio, and we're going to continue to keep an eye on that. So it's interesting. Mortgages or housing, I should say, it's expensive, and some people are stretching their budgets to get a mortgage. So keep an eye on the DTI and the GSE patch. Collingwood, we had an interview with them this morning, the folks that run their new capital advisors group. You know, they expect some M&A activity to pick up and more consolidation. We talked to Mark DeGennaro there, as well as Tom Booker. You know, consolidation in the industry. Listen, there's been a lot of smaller deals that have happened, asset deals this year. But listen, there's been no big deals. There's been very few big deals. The big one everyone keeps waiting on is PHH Corp. No one thinks that's going to be sold as a franchise deal. It's going to be some kind of liquidation of its assets, more than likely. And that's the biggie right now. People also wonder what's going to happen with Ocwen. They're not for sale per se, but their stock is still $3 a share, and they can't buy MSRs, and they continue to lose money. Are they going to do sort of a self-liquidation? No one's saying that yet, but it's being talked about in certain circles. What is the future of Ocwen? What is the future of PHH? Two big companies that those two could fall into the M&A arena somehow in the next year or two. Non-QM liquidity. We had a very good subprime or new non-prime webinar about 10 days ago with Dan Pearl of Citadel, Tom Hutchins of Angel Oak, and Matt Nichols, Deep Haven, and some other people. And it was really a really good webinar. They talked about liquidity in the market. There's money out there. There's warehouse money out there for certain kinds of non-QM loans. Very interesting webinar we had and story on the website. People should check that out. We did a crunch of the retail data for the first 6 months of the year. Probably no shock here that loans that come through the retail channel tend to have higher credit scores. Also, something that came out late last week, I think it was roughly 38 ministers in New York and from churches in the five boroughs weighed in to their elected officials, their federal officials, I should say, in New York State, regarding the future of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That letter sort of came out of nowhere. It was just interesting. Wow. The churches, the clergy weighed in on this. And they basically fear that without Fannie and Freddie, they'll be known to serve low and moderate income communities, Hispanics, the Hispanic and African American communities, and other minorities. And they weighed in on that. They had a phone number in the letter that was sent out by the 38 ministers, and I called the phone number, and I got some weird message about, returning my call via something called Google Voice, and I never heard back. I called about 9:30 this morning, no word back. I just wonder, why suddenly they're weighing in on the GSE issues. There's nothing imminent, but, who knows who put them up to it.
There's no chatter on from any of the presidential candidates, zero chatter about housing, much less mortgage, which is...
Housing is not an issue. Let's face it, if you want to talk about the election, there are no issues in this election. It's
no
all about the candidates. Yeah, don't get me started. We have short takes. Joe Garrard writes a neat little newsletter for his clients, and I get a copy of it every week, and it's always fun, and Joe talks about one of the company reviews he did on a CEO who, on paper looked absolutely wonderful. They went in, they did a review there, and he described the CEO as sort of beyond horrible. He didn't mention the person by name, which, of course, I understand, or the company.
Yeah.
But, it raises an interesting issue about people who recruit. There's some people who look good on paper, you look at performance, and it's a whole different ballgame. I know you're involved in a lot of these headhunter CEO things, David, and I'm sure you see people on paper who look absolutely wonderful, and then you get down to the nitty gritty and the personal thing and the return on equity, and suddenly you wonder, what's going on here?
Did they get to him? I'm just dumbfounded why some people get to where they get to in this, and I'm also as wondered why some really solid people aren't playing a bigger role in some of these companies. So we're going to be talking about that in the hot topic segment. So that's a big focus of our program today. Yeah, you're right. That's so true. That's good that Joe writes on that. That's good. What I like about Joe, he just doesn't care. He kicks over sacred cows. He's old enough. He's going, I'm cool with myself. I'm happy with myself. He gets right out there and just says it like it is. I like that. I like that about what Joe does. So that's good stuff. Lots of good stuff in your website and the short takes all the way around. If we got all those covered. Budget season has started. What's that about? Looking at your...
Oh, that's, it's people starting to plan for next year. I mean, this is no secret. But what, you know, we understand, the people I talk to on a weekly basis, it seems like the non-banks are sure as heck a lot more optimistic than the banks. This is an ongoing story where banks are ceding market share to non-banks. And one other interesting tidbit on the website, Ginnie Mae has got, you know, on their homepage, and they're talking about their profitability, and they mention, unlike the GSEs, Ginnie Mae is profitable. And wait a second, the GSEs are profitable. We pointed this out to them last week, saying, do you know what's on your website? And anyway, they haven't got back to us, and I would hope by now they've taken that reference down. So anyway, that's about it.
That's about it. Well, it's a great website. Good job. You do a good job, you and the team there. And be sure to say hi to Guy Sakala and to Colin, all the team there. You guys really do a good job. And also, your newsletters beyond that are a great resource for the industry. You got a great product. Love what you do. And I'm very fortunate to have you come on and join us. Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate it,
friend. Have a good week.
You bet. You too. Now we head over to Alice Alvey. So good to have you on the program each and every week. And how many times, Alice, when you come on, Are you in a place where you are helping us with so much with the content when I'm running around? So I'm looking. There you are. You got your mic turned on. I was looking for you on the switchboard talking away and going, getting distracted. Anyway, Alice, good to have you here. You were just at a conference. Give us an update.
Yes, I was just speaking at the Mortgage Bankers Association Risk Management and Quality Assurance and Fraud Conference, all rolled into one. So on Wednesday, the opening day, I spoke with Zachary Dawson, who is Director of Collateral Policy and Strategy at Fannie Mae. And we spent quite a bit of time talking with lenders about collateral and underwriting and appraisal issues. And it was just great. The audience was a fabulous group of lenders who shared a lot of information, a great interactive session. And you know, what's great, and you get in an environment like that, you realize all those appraisal myths that people think are still out there. You know, how far away should a comp be? How close should it be? What's the date and timing of the sale? All of that has completely changed in the way that Fannie and Freddie write their guides today and the way collateral underwriter has impacted the market. So for those of you who haven't embraced collateral underwriter yet, I strongly recommend it. It has changed the way lenders operate. There's always that learning curve of companies having to adapt to the change and underwriters feeling like they just lost a little bit of control and having to relearn things. But it really does bring efficiency, and it's really causing a big change in the industry. In that group of companies that were there, I would say at least 60% of them have moved collateral to be a separate process now. It's not part of underwriting. So an underwriter looks at credit, and then they have a separate position that is a collateral analyst. And we've seen more companies move to this. It's been a process over the last year, and now it's really seemed to have turned a corner. And those who hadn't made that shift yet, we're definitely starting to think about it and asking lots of questions from those who had. The industry seems to be in various stages of adapting CU. It's only been around a year and a half, and I'm going to borrow Zach Dawson's joke. He says, you know, DU is old enough to drink, and CU is just a toddler. So, because DU is 21 years old, Danny and Freddie's AUS.
Yeah, that's right.
He said I could borrow it, so I'll give him credit. But anyway, so quite a few things that came out. The system does seem to be weeding out some bad appraisers. I mean, when you look at the statistics they provide, you can't deny that there's a lot of sloppy work out there. I mean, there's certain quality ratings and data entry elements that shouldn't vary whether something's a subject or a comp or whether it's used by two different appraisers. The square footage should match. And so, you know, the appraisers that are pushing back, all of that is starting to really be something that lenders have to cope with today in light of the appraiser capacity challenges. So it was a great session to talk a lot about that. If you need some more information, you should feel free to reach out to your Fannie Mae reps. Or if you're a correspondent, reach out to those that you sell loans. You know what? Reach out to Fannie Mae directly anyway, and they'll be happy to come out and conduct some sessions. They've done an amazing amount of training, and they're going to keep doing that until folks get the right message on that product. So as far as the rest of the conference, just great group of people, lots of really great sessions. You know, for those of you who are on that risk management side of the business, it is absolutely a must-attend event. And, you know, if you're very experienced, even the very experienced clients we have who we saw there had some good takeaways. So that's that on that conference. I'm going to give you a couple other quick notes here. CFPB did post their notice about the 1003 and that collection of this, what we call the expanded HMDA information. So for those of you who haven't seen it, the new 1003 is not going to just have a box for Asian. You can check off Asian as an example, and then it'll open up to show Asian Indian, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Filipino, Vietnamese, other Asian, and you can enter in the race. Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander opens up, you know, so we call these collapsible, right? Same with Hispanic or Latino. There's more detail that the consumer, the borrower, is allowed to self-identify. These are optional. Lenders can, at their discretion, start letting the consumer self-identify starting January 1st of this year, if your system will let you. Now, a lot of folks are going, that sounds like right around the corner, Allison, I'm not ready. So technically, it starts to begin that this will be permitted widespread by using the new drop-down boxes beginning January 1st of 2018. All this opens up some additional HMDA reporting requirements, so be sure you read the CFPB memo to understand what would happen. Another thing that came out is just FHA does have a proposed rule now for their new condos. This has been in discussion. It's now published. You can go out there and comment. Comment period ends November 28th. There's a lot of good stuff in here, folks. You want to comment on this. The real estate community will be commenting on this because they want some of these as well to open up that condo market. So they're going to reinstate spot approvals. They want to extend the recertification from 2 years to 3 years. They want to reduce the owner occupancy because right now it's at 50%. And they want to open up to allow a range of 25 to 75. Be careful. You hear in the market people saying, oh, FHA is going to reduce it to 25. No, they're not. They just want permission to change the range. That's what's happening in the proposed rule. It doesn't actually change that the current rate's going to be 50%. There's some new requirements on DE lender approval lenders who will right now change. It'll change their requirements for what they can approve for condos. So definitely take a look at it, folks. There's lots in there to comment about for FHA condos and open up that market. Last but not least, BB&T is the latest for the False Claims Act. Trying to listen to Paul's bit. I'm not sure if he brought this up. He may have brought it up last week. But, folks, you have to go read the details on every single one of these FHA components because they do give specifics in a fact sheet that you need to read and go, do I have that in line in my shop? So in this case, one of the things that jumps out at you in this one is the number of loans increased that we're having problems and audit problems and the volume increased, but the QC staff didn't increase, right? So FHA is going to look for those types of things. As a matter of fact, all your auditors kind of do. So it's those little tips that fall in there, and we're happy to share many of those with you. So don't hesitate to give us a call if you have a question. So, Dave, I'll wrap up there and hopefully see folks at the national conference. It's just a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, you'll be in the booth with me at the D&H booth talking and sharing with our people. So you get on the microphones. We got the real nice, super cool studio set up, so it'll be fun to have you there. So it'll be awesome. Great job.
Great.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, Dave.
Forward to our time together, as always. And then hopefully you stay on because I'm interested in getting your thoughts as we listen to Matt talk about the recruiting. Love to get your comment in that if you can. I don't hope
it's yours.
Absolutely. Fine. All right. Good, good, good. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief ad break so you can learn more about how you can connect with Alice and her amazing team and Indicom Mortgage U. We'll be right back after this brief word with Sam Garcia.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
So good to have you with us, everybody. And we're so fortunate to have Sam Garcia here with us on the line. There, got your mic on, Sam. Good to have you with us. Hope the temperatures up there in Dallas are as nice as they are down here in Austin. It's wonderful.
David, I was talking to my mom this weekend, and it sounded like the weather here in Dallas was better than in Southern California. So that's a rare event, but I loved it. It was good.
Yes, it's good. Wonderful. Well, I'm looking at the list of all the things. I shot you a quick email back. I tell you, I look at the list. There is so much information on here, but there's something more I want to start showcasing a little bit about what you cover. And so let's cover some of these stories, not all these stories, because I want to have a few minutes with you, Sam, to talk about some, I think, some really important features about your website and what you offer. So let's pick out the top few stories here that you think are of the most interest, and then I want to go a new direction a little bit with some things that I want to highlight.
Sure. I think the biggest story, because we just did put it out today, was that fixed-rate mortgage-backed securities issuance on behalf of Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie was $158 billion last month, according to the data we get from EMBS. That was the biggest month for the three agencies since November 2012. And just at Ginnie Mae, last month's issuance was $51 billion. That was the biggest month ever for Ginnie. So,
wow,
big
ever,
month,
ever,
reflecting,
ever.
Of course, recent big production.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, that's the biggest month ever, ever, ever. Wow.
Yeah, they already, Ginnie reported last month, of course, that they had a record month for issuance. So that was the prior month's information. So this is just kind of a follow-up. We'll see if that's a peak or not, huh? But
One of the things I'm thinking about on that, Sam, is that because they because in the last housing cycle when we had such extraordinary volumes, the agencies weren't involved in that. That was when we were going with the crazy money, the Wall Street money, and we were doing all these unconventional, non-conforming, non-agency type products. So I was thinking, gosh, it could be more then, but they weren't using Ginnie and Fannie, Freddie back then as much.
Yeah, and of course we had a lot of crazy products going on, and I think as we've talked about before, that we'll see some of these, obviously it's not going to be subprime or crazy Alt-A, but we're going to see a little bit more reaching out by a lot of the lenders out there once we're done through this refinance boom, which has just been so extended, because of unexpected low Fed rates, and it's just, keeps pushing that refinance volume. But I think we'll see maybe a little bit of extension out there. And of course, we are seeing some non-agency securitizations happening more often recently. So I think that trend's likely to continue because people are looking for yield.
Yeah. Well, let's cover a couple more headlines that you've got here that are some of the big issues. I can see a couple that pop out to me. The FHA settlement of BB&T, that's always it. But run through these real quickly and love to get your take on the Wells Fargo debacle is what's going on there with all that they did. So give me some of your thoughts on that, and then I want to make our listeners aware of some things that you have on your website that not everyone's aware of. So go cover a couple more headlines real quickly.
Well, when I think of Wells Fargo, I think of a company that really came out of the financial crisis just looking great. I remember the CEO chairman back at the time when these SIVs, was it special investment vehicles, I think
yeah.
it was,
yeah.
he said he'd never even heard of them because they weren't into that crazy kind of stuff like some of the more complicated institutions out there were. So, they had such a stellar reputation. Of course, in the mortgage industry, they are the biggest lender, the biggest servicer. So it's just like, wow, what a crazy situation to tarnish that great brand they had going there. I'm sure they'll come through it, but it's pretty huge when an institution has to fire 5,000 or more people because of this. And then you wonder, is there going to be any criminal prosecution on either these employees or the executives that knew about it? It's pretty crazy. And I actually felt kind of bad for the CEO when he was in front of the Senate Banking Committee and Elizabeth Warren was just ripping him apart. It's like, wow.
Ripping.
She was that was where she wanted to be, obviously, and obviously where he did not want to be. But I'd like to see them come through this because they really have been a stellar brand out there, and they've done an incredible job growing that business to the size it was.
You know, I I've got my mortgage with them, and they do a stellar job of servicing that. I mean, I got to tell you, it's a quality class company. And to see this other division, the other side of the company, make a big blunder, it's a black eye for them. And I tell you, it's going to have ramifications. This, we have not seen the end of this one. It's going to get politicized. Anything that can get politicized in this election season is going to get politicized, and you can just hear the candidates start firing up, and it's going to be a stump. Stuff.
And actually, it was bipartisan. You know, there was nobody that went easy on this guy, either in the Senate or in the House. Testimony that he gave. So it's kind of brutal, that's for sure. But it's funny because this last week we had a lot of litigation, and that's something we really focus on, is litigation in the mortgage related. And of course, there was the RBS settlement with the NCUA for over $1 billion that was tied to MBS that were bought by the failed corporate credit unions. Wells Fargo had another separate settlement, much smaller. But it was in a class action that there was a lot of robocalls that were made in violation of what's allowed on those type of calls. U.S. Bank settled with the district or with L.A. County, should I say, over the condition of properties. And the funny thing is I don't even think it was the servicer. It's only the trustee, but it was just like, let's move on and get this behind us. Ditech had a settlement because they made allegedly too many calls to Massachusetts borrowers, as many as 12 times a day. So, there was several mortgage-related settlements and agreements that we covered last week. And that's always big reading, and we get a lot of attorneys that read our stuff because we do cover that kind of stuff.
One of the things I want to focus on, Sam, in your website is some of the data that you do. There's a lot more than just the great articles, and you do have some really good articles, but there's the data there. So could you just showcase what I want to start doing each week is start talking about one piece of information that you're on there just to get people start familiar with beyond the articles why they should subscribe to your site.
Well, what's been something that came to prominence since the financial crisis as we watched foreclosure rates and delinquency rates just skyrocket was we started collecting all this, we were already reporting on the foreclosures and delinquency levels, whether it be 30 or 60 or 90 days on first mortgages or all mortgages. But that obviously became that much more important when the crisis hit. So we started putting these things in tables. I mean, we've got all kinds of organizations, the Mortgage Bankers, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and Black Knight, and CoreLogic. They all report foreclosure and delinquency data. So what we've done is just put it in these tables by year, and, of course, most recently, let's say for this year, year to date, to show those numbers side by side. And it makes it real easy to just go through and, if you're looking at these tables and they go back, some of them to 1990, that's how long we've collected the data from. If you go to them, you can actually click the latest numbers or numbers from prior years and read the story that came from and more, you even get more details about it. So, if you're looking for performance data. I'm sorry?
That's what I want to point out. That's what I wanted to point out, the dynamic nature of the data and how you can literally look at the stories that are going on around there. I think that was just so cool. I ran across that. So it's good. Good stuff, Sam. Very good. I love your website. It's got some content in here, and it's how you bring this data together. Kudos to you. I am thrilled to have you be a part of the podcast and that we're doing, and I encourage people to get out, especially for those that are looking at understanding and getting historical references, not only what's going on currently, that's on your website, but also the historical data. It's just really good. Excellent stuff, man. Really appreciate you.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, David.
You betcha, man. I'll be calling you here after the program and talk about some more ideas I got. You do a great job, and I want this up. I want more people aware of what you're doing, friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Well, let's get over to Jim Jump. So good to have Arch MI as one of our sponsors, and let's hear a word about the RateStar program. Jim Jump.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on, and we're happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. And today I'd like again to talk about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar is a revolutionary tool that allows mortgage originators to dynamically price mortgage insurance and match coverage to Archemy's most competitive rates. And that's important because it allows you to compete more effectively, qualify more borrowers, and of course, close more loans. That's the power of RateStar. Originators from around the country are letting us know just how quick and easy RateStar is to use. And all you need is your NMLS number, and you can access RateStar anywhere, anytime, using multiple points of entry, including most LOS systems, product and pricing engines, and through our websites at archemy.com and archemycu.com for credit unions. And of course, it's available through our mobile app for smartphones and tablets. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. You just touch, tap, and go. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Archemy rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. And I have to tell you, David, getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you and say thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
Appreciate it so much. Appreciate what the job that Archemy is doing. They're really, really kind of challenging the rest of the industry to step up to another game. And that app, RateStar app is really good. It's right up there with Rocket Mortgage as far as getting attention and being a good disruptor. Check it out. Be sure to go out and check out their website. Go to our website, look it on Lenny. You can see, click on the ad, and you'll go right there. Also want to say Andy Schell is not going to join us today. He is out at his daughter's graduation. He's attending an event right now, and we're texting back and forth. He said he wanted to make sure our listeners understand that he is doing part four of the MBA accounting webinar. It starts again. It's going to be on Thursday, October 6th, on Thursday of this week. So check it out. If you're not a part of that, we're going to go there. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Matt Strahl, who is going to help us really sort through getting the right people on the bus and getting the wrong people off the bus. But first, we're going to hear from our friends at Motivity Solutions with a KPI of the week. This is an interesting one. Underwriting to closing. We're kind of getting, so you look forward to the month, what's going to happen, see what the date is. What's the KPI that can help you track that more effectively?
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. And the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
That was John Maynil, who is the the Vice President of Client Services there. Does a great job. Check it out at MotivitySolutions.com or call him at 303-721-9000. Without further ado, let's get our special guest on to the program today. And Matt Strahl is, again, an individual I've just recently gotten to know and we've partnered up together working on things related to the industry. I mean, again, my business is called Transformational Mortgage Solutions. We're here to transform the industry. And one of the ways you do it, there's three P's of transforming anything or if you're involved in any business. And that's, first of all, your people, your process, and your product, and we focus on all three of those. And today on this podcast, we're going to be talking about the people and how to recruit. Matt has been in the real estate industry since 1986. He was initially started selling real estate franchises out in L.A. Then he wound up in the lending business in 1988 and was a partner in two successful correspondent lenders, and then managed a national title insurance agency, worked for Fidelity Informations as well, and it was also known as Black Knight back then and is now. First American, CoreLogic, DataQuick. I mean, he's been around. He's done a lot of this. But most recently, I ran into Matt at the MBA Mortgage Tech Conference out in L.A. earlier this year. We actually connected in an elevator of all places, and I'd known of him because of work he had done for Ed Fay at Fay Servicing. And so I locked on to him, and I was thinking, one thing I want to bring into our firm is someone who really is knowledgeable and really great at helping get the right people on the bus. He's got a formula. He's done that at Face Servicing and a number of other companies. So please join me in welcoming Matt Strahl to the program. Matt, good to have you here.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me. It's really fun to be here today.
You know, it's good to have you here. I'm excited to have to get into this discussion, and I'm going to look at the clock, and it goes so fast. But let's get into talking about, you know, they're getting the right people on the bus and getting the wrong people off the bus, as Jim Collins and David Campbell talked about. What is new in the talent acquisition? I mean, often referred to, there's the large, broad area of recruiting, but then there's true talent acquisition. I want to get into, you know, delineating that out. So kind of talk to us about talent acquisition.
Well, to me, talent acquisition really is more of a strategic hire, where you're focusing concerted efforts to really locate the right fit. And by right fit, I don't just mean culture fit. Everyone seems to talk about that today as being one of the big buzzwords, as it has for the last 10 years. We all know that when you're in the industry, you know, the more you know about the industry technically, the better off you'll be anyway. So we're looking for people that typically have 3 to 4 times the skill level of what they're actually coming into, whether it be just a middle manager, and I don't mean to be, you know, to downgrade that, but you do need, when you're doing talent acquisition for senior management and for directly for the CEO of a corporation, you've got to have more of a strategic approach. Strategic talent acquisition or recruiting is actually 3 to 5 times more intensive than just a basic search that perhaps maybe the corporate HR people would be doing. And by that I mean they have a function. Many of the people work at a certain level. They've perhaps only worked in HR. They don't know the industry quite as well as someone like you or I or some of the other people on the show today. So they don't really know what it truly takes to be an added value to a company. And that's really what strategic search is all about, and executive recruiting.
That's the strategic part. Yeah. That's where this, when you come in talking about strategic, it's that. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. So I always start with this. I mean, when you talk about somebody's, they're passionate about something, it usually it's driven by why they exist. So give us some insight to what drives you to be involved in this area and why you have become so good at it.
Well, it was kind of funny because my early days in the business, I got in as a retail loan officer. I put my nose to the grindstone in L.A. and built a very good following out there. And then I had a game plan. I really wanted to be in ownership. You know, I knew I had to do certain things to get there. Had to have a certain net worth, had to really look at the world in a, maybe a little different way. But luckily, I'd grown up in a family that was very entrepreneurial, so it was kind of second nature in that level. And I think a lot of us sometimes have that exceptional, you know, background where you just were lucky to be exposed to some of the things you were. And I think a lot of that's timing and a variety of things like that. But when I realized what I was really doing when I was running my company, it was really all about talent. And this was about 1990, 91, 92, with a really great mortgage company in Los Angeles called South Coast Financial. And we had gone from a broker to a mortgage banker and eventually built a pretty phenomenal servicing portfolio of about $1 billion before the Los Angeles earthquake. And it was a really interesting time because everybody was learning, and we realized that the people were really what made us, and that always stuck with me. So within the next few years, I slowly started moving over toward that, and when the earthquake in Los Angeles happened, you know, basically the writing was on the wall. We lost a $100 million pipeline. You know, basically our company shut down. We funded, I think, closed only about $2 to $5 million out of that whole pipeline, and that was our correspondent lending pipeline as well. So that was a big blow to the company, and we just decided to pack it in at that point in time. But the talent side of things has stuck with me all through that, and I really realized being part of the sales management team and a partner, and then also being heavily involved in operations like you are in some smaller lending operations like that, you really see how important strategic talent is in hiring the right people. So that's kind of the motivation that really got me going toward that. And then by 1997, I just decided to go into it full-time. And then it was funny, back and forth, you know, we had the dot-com failure. So I got thrown back in mortgage technology and analytics and a variety of other areas with CoreLogic and Fidelity and a variety of the firms. And it kind of became you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy. And basically, you know, putting together consulting teams and services by these companies for my clients, you know, we again realized how important talent was. So probably about 6 or 7 years ago, just kind of went full blown into that field, and very fun. I've learned so much more about it, and watched the industry change right before me.
We have some mutual friends over at Face Servicing, and they were just blown away with what you were able to do for them. So use that as a case study to help differentiate, you know, what you did there versus what others might have done. I mean, what was your approach there that made that engagement so successful for you?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I went in originally as a retained search provider for their underwriting team and located quite a few DE underwriters for the company. We hired two of the best. That actually transitioned into meeting with Ed Fay, who was the president of the company. Great guy, very brilliant, visionary type. He and his partners formed Fay Servicing. They're a mortgage servicing company out of Chicago, one of only two large ones in the whole city here. And they basically they needed some help, and we didn't really realize how much help they needed. They, you know, there were things missing, like a fully compliant applicant tracking system, you know, manual HR procedures.
What do you mean by that? If you could dive into a fully, you know, if you could explain that real quickly.
Okay. Well, to me, basically, there's a lot of analogs between HR and the mortgage business in general, and by that I mean. The LOS systems that are out on the market today tend to be, you know, very aware of compliance laws and regulations and regulatory builds within the software itself. So basically, the applicant tracking systems, which most of us use in the industry in one form or another, have really kind of finally gone that way quite heavily over the last few years. And that means we're finally able to get analytics out of it. We're finally able to really track anything and everything we're doing. We're able to be fully compliant and automated. You can build your operations into an extremely efficient machine with very good regard to budget. So there's all different levels of tools out there and platforms for the companies to use. And really, that was part of the service I provided to Ed. They didn't have one in there. I did an executive summary of six of the top systems that they needed to know about. We did it with a Lean Six Sigma process so that we were really well thought out and made our decisions well. So we implemented that. And then during that same...
Finish your thought on that, because I want to talk about these systems. While you're talking, seeing as I've interrupted you already, let me do this. What systems are you specifically? I heard you speak LOS. I want to make sure our listeners are clear on the systems you're talking about here.
Okay, loan origination system is an LOS. Every mortgage company in the country obviously has one.
Yep.
Most sophisticated firms in the mortgage business are going to have some form of an applicant tracking or HR platform.
That's what
now,
I'm talking about.
Many of those platforms are simply outdated or no longer viable. Once a company's been around 6, 8, 10 years, they've gone from a headcount of 50 people to 300 or 500, and they cannot, it really doesn't serve the company correctly to have something perhaps they started on years ago. But oftentimes, you know, we're creatures of habit. We don't get rid of those things. And then people like me come in and do studies, and we take a look at the landscape and the technology that's there, and we offer some possible solutions for them. So I really look at this more as a consulting engagement as opposed to just strategic staffing or a recruiting function, because recruiting is to me really part of what HR really is. And when you start getting into middle and upper level management, you really have to be strategic in your mindset, your goals, your skill sets, a variety of the things. And I'll tell you what, today analytics is king. The more people I seem to get hired, the analytical background is really off the charts. People are very well aware of the metrics, not only across HR but across the whole enterprise. They're very, very well aware about KPIs across the company, and all of these things now are translatable into the platform with the applicant tracking systems and some of the things you can buy. Now, obviously, you know, I can give you an example of some of the best ones, which would be like an iSIMS platform or an Oracle platform, human capital management. Those are the benchmarks and kind of leaders for the big banks and then for the mortgage banking industry that I've seen out there, and I would heartily recommend if a company is big enough to afford those or look at those, I would definitely recommend that if you've been with your same platform for quite a while. But obviously, Oracle is a major investment for any corporation, so it's not really going to apply to the mid-tier companies and some of the smaller ones. But that's where I can help, and I'd like to think that, you know, we can share a lot of best practices from many of the clients in the past and build the teams accordingly. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think when you transform a company, you really have to look at the talent. You've got to look at potentially what are the potential problem areas. Do we have problem employees that we really need to deal with? How do we deal with those? What are the red flags, you know, for example, that really tell a senior management and HR that there are some serious problems within a company. You know, a couple of those would be attrition rate. You know, if it's sky high or it's too high and it's not improving, and too high to me is anything above 30%. In the mortgage industry, I go by the rule of thirds, which we all laugh about. Mm-hmm. But there's always 30% coming, going, and staying in whatever relationship you look at that. So the big idea is a great company needs to recognize that and figure out how to lower those rates and increase the retention time, because turnover is probably the biggest enemy of all companies, mortgage, right, title, you know, real estate. And how do you maintain that? And I have a few answers, you know, if we want to go further on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to go further into that a little bit, quite frankly. I want to talk also a little bit about some of the positions that you have worked on and if there's different statistics related to some of these versus, like, for example, leadership and managerial versus the CFO position versus, you know, the sales side of a business versus technology, governance, and all that. So if you could kind of mix that in here, I think it'd be valuable information.
Yeah, you know, when you're looking at really doing an executive search or strategic managerial people that are really vital key personnel, you really need to be thorough. I mean, you've got to do your due diligence on everything. As the guys were saying earlier, you really need to look at the performance of the candidate in the background and see his results, especially with someone like a CFO as well, because they're basically responsible for creating and setting up the governance and management of most HR departments and then the budget accordingly for staffing and general HR personnel. So the whole idea is you've got to make strategic hires with these people. This is not something that, you know, a general recruiter is going to do, you know, without a lot of years' experience and the right people to help, you know, learn the industry on the job. Sales teams are a very fun thing to do because you can outsource that and do what the big thing in the industry today is, recruitment process outsourcing, especially of mortgage sales teams. And that's a big plus, because when you can dedicate somebody and lower your cost per hire, which is one of the most important statistics in staffing anyway, when you can lower that cost per hire where it's really affordable for the client to do, it's usually less expensive to outsource that whole function to a firm than it is to keep it inside. But there are a couple of other key ways that I could help companies do that internally. It takes, you know, very talented people in there, and again, you know, strategically picking the right people for the job that have a proof of history and performance, that's really what you're looking for today. And it's almost mandatory. And again, bringing those analytics and that kind of background into the overall scope of things, that's mandatory, I think, today.
Yeah. I think cost to acquire or hire, bring on, is very, very important. I want to talk just briefly about that, and then I'm going to toss the mic to Alice and then to Joe. So if you guys can kind of get your questions, if you have any, ready. But let's talk a little bit about the cost to hire. I mean, is that even on the radar screen of the average company?
Well, believe it or not, a lot of the recruiting staff and HR staff will probably know that. Does that translate across the board to senior management all the time? Not really, not what I've seen. And I've had the good fortune of working with quite a few companies over the years. And most of the time when I ask a senior executive, do you know what your actual cost per hire is for any one of your divisions or the whole company on a median average? And do you know what the timeline is for that as well? Those are two metrics that are absolute. Those need to be focused on. They need, and that again can go back to your overall recruiting budget, what your corporate spend is. You really need to take a look at that. And again, where is that going to start? That starts with the CFO, and then translates into the HR and the EVPs of HR within most of the companies or senior managers that also are handling that. So the cost of the actual recruit, for example, on a sales team, you can get that pretty low when you're looking for loan officers. You could be as low as, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 per headcount, or give or take maybe even five or seven in certain regions. And some people would love to have that actual cost per hire. Other times, you know, again, if you're looking for sales management and higher level personnel, it may be double that or triple that. And then an even bigger issue, though, is the cost of a position going unfilled or unhired. That's actually, the way we break that down is 2.5 times that annual salary that goes for executives down to just general personnel. So the length of time a position is open and divided by 12 months is really the cost of that opportunity that's being lost. So those are the technical areas that great staffing people, great executive search and strategic search people really focus in on. They try to make a dent. They put a dent in that, and they try to really help the client and show how they can do things a little better with better processes.
Alice, I'll let you dive into the question. If you have any questions for Matt, then over to you, Joe.
Yeah, I do, Matt. So, you know, we are an outsourced service provider. So, you know, we are, I was glad to hear you say you advocate that. So certainly staffing is something that we live. So I'm interested. Thank you for sharing those metrics with us. How have you found the market to be today? I mean, it's a very competitive market out there for, you know, for underwriters. And I know a lot of our companies, so kind of a twofold question, because it's so competitive, a lot of companies try and just leverage what they can find online through various, you know, social sources, you know, the various career builders, Monster, and they try and do this themselves. So I think with the competitive nature of our business, is it something you can do yourself internally?
It can be done, but you've got to be pretty sophisticated about it. And, you know, is a junior recruiter going to be able to go out and build a strategic team? I don't quite think they're there yet. You know, as you know, if an employer is trying to have someone build a senior management team when they've only got a couple of years in recruiting experience. Now, if they have some prior mortgage experience and really understand the mortgage world or the title world or real estate world, that can be a slightly different thing. And again, any one person could potentially do pretty well in this. So I don't mean to make it sound like it's an impossible science or people can't do that, but it does take a complete framework of technology, and I even use the job boards and the things like that, but that's a starting point for me. And I think you'll find the more sophisticated staffing experts are going to have their own databases that could be pretty deep. For example, I've got the NMLS 50,000-plus loan officers across the country. I don't think every company out there would have access to that data. That comes from prior business ventures that I had done, and it was not an inexpensive tool to get. And it's actually a great tool because I can go look the people up online, and I have, you know, obviously names in every state of people that we can go for. So there are strategic ways that eventually over time, if you're involved in this and you're a good mortgage person or you just understand the business, you can kind of figure it out. But oftentimes what I'll even do is I'll go in and help somebody build out that agency style recruiting operation, which is really kind of what you need in a company like this, and or any company that is wanting to, you know, kind of keep an eye on their budget, but they still need help from outside. There's some quicker, better, smarter ways to do this. Yes.
Good question. Alan, Joe.
Yeah, well, you just hit on recruiting originators, and that's on everyone's mind. Everyone's wanting to grow their production by, you know, adding the right originators. So talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the market right now for specifically recruiting originators and what seems to be most successful.
Well, that is always one of the one of the highest turnover positions within most companies, unfortunately, and also one of the ones that it's a never-ending cycle, in my opinion. And having been on both sides of the coin of hiring and trying to help build companies, it's not the easiest thing today. I think, Alice hit it on the head. It is becoming tougher across the board. We have to be more strategic and intelligent than we ever have. We've got to use every tool that's available to us out there. I personally You know, I believe in the power of advertising and social media and things like that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And a lot of the time, you really just have to target market the people you're trying to work with and build relationships with them over time. And, you know, any one lender may or may not be a good fit for any given loan officer as well. So you really need, you know, I hate to say it, it's more of a culture fit and a mentality.
Sure.
Some people are meant to work for banks. Others work really well in a mortgage banking environment, and some work better even in a brokerage environment or some other form of it. So we really have to keep all that in mind and then kind of put together a strategy and target the correct people. And it's not the easiest thing in the world, especially, you know, people have so much access to technology on both sides of the coin today that really it's getting to your market. How do you reach the right people? And you have to have inside tools. You've got to be members of the MBA. You've got to be members of your state mortgage banking association. You've got to pay attention to your local state NMLS. There's a lot of different ways that you have to go about things if you really want results, and that would be what I mean by that is high volume results, because most people mm-hmm. building sales teams are going to be looking for 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 people, you know, over the course of a year or more. So,
good stuff. I mean, there's so much. This is a broad, deep topic we could go on and on and on about. But I think you've cracked the lid on it, and I want to continue this discussion. But we're flat out of time. But so we're going to have you back, man, because I've gotten several requests. I've got more questions thrown at me through text messages here. And so we clearly want to get into this. A lot of them are in the producer area, the production area. A lot of people want to know about the systems that you're using. We've got some questions coming in about, you know, what is an acceptable rate of turnover, Matt, in the production. So this has generated a lot of interest. So clearly we're going to have you back and be talking about it, and we'll do that again soon. But for people that want to get a hold of you right now to talk to you, what is the most effective way for them to contact you?
Well, they can call me directly. They're more than welcome to call here or, you know, basically send an email or something like that to me. The best way to probably reach me quickly if you really would like some help or you want to just discuss the state of the operations that you're working with, I'll be glad to help and talk to you further about that. It'd be 312-933-4747. And by the way, if the phone is busy, please do leave a message. It's my cell phone, and it's usually always on. But again, the number is 312-933-4747, and I'm usually available.
You can also email them at mstrahl@tms-advisors.com. Matt, thanks so much for coming on the program today. I really appreciate you being here. There's so much to talk about on this. I'm just always amazed at when it comes to recruiting how deep that topic is. So we'll definitely have you back. Look forward to it. Appreciate you, everybody, tuning in and being a part of the program. Got some exciting stuff coming up here next week. Who do we have? I don't have it right here in front of me. I apologize for that. We've got some really exciting information coming up next week. And the guests that we have, we want to hear from you, who you'd like to see on the program. So it's good to have you with us. Have a great week, everybody, and see you back here next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.